Don't say it too loudly, but there is a quiet revolution going on. Amidst the hustle and the bustle of the city, the construction industry is discreetly electrifying, not just for the climate, but for the health and quality of life of all of us, and because it makes good business sense. Welcome to Shaping Sustainable Places. I'm John Ambrose. In this episode, we cross to New York, where Julia Casagrande reveals how the Big Apple is spearheading an unexpected alliance, pushing for the electrification of construction. This isn't just about cutting emissions. It's also about drastically cutting harmful air pollutants and noise, factors that can directly affect all of us. Julia Casagrande is Deputy Director of Clean Energy at the New York City Mayor's Office of Climate and Environmental Justice. Julia, welcome to Shaping Sustainable Places.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're here today to talk about the North American Electric Construction Coalition, which includes New York City. I understand that the whole basic idea is all these members have committed to using more electric construction equipment. Why? And can you describe what the coalition is?
Yeah. So the coalition was started by New York City and C40 Cities, which is a global network of cities coming together for climate solutions. We wanted to drive the market in North America. So we've seen a lot of electric construction equipment coming up in Europe because of policies, incentives, and demand. We haven't really seen so much in North America. So we wanted to come together with other cities, other construction companies and stakeholders and tell the market that we want this equipment here in North America and that if you bring it here, we will buy it, we will put it in our specifications, we will rent it, we want to use it, and we want to see those benefits come to North America. So the coalition started with C40 Cities, as I said, New York City, and then we had six other initial municipal partners, including Austin, Los Angeles, San Diego, Montreal, Boulder County, and Philadelphia. And then we just had Portland, Oregon come online as well. We have a lot of other private partners and a few other municipal partners, including the New York Metropolitan Transit Authority and the California Air Resource Board in California. Those cities, the initial cities, have a combined capital annual spend of $16 billion. So it's a huge potential opportunity. And we wanted the market to know that we all want this equipment. So we have big capital budgets. We have a lot of construction work. And we want to be using electric construction equipment in the future.
Really finding those economies of scale. You mentioned some of the advantages of using electric construction equipment. What are they? What are the benefits for cities, but also for the customers and for the construction companies?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're focused on climate. Greenhouse gas emissions is a big component of all of our work. But this initiative is really also targeted at air pollution and noise pollution. You know, we're in New York City. Everything is loud. It's an environmental justice issue, the noise pollution in New York City, and electric construction equipment is significantly quieter, which has benefits for the neighborhoods, but also for the folks that are operating the equipment and the folks on site. We've also heard safety benefits from not having all of that noise. You can hear somebody yelling if, you know, there's an issue, if you need to get out of the way, or if something comes up. So we've heard a lot of benefits, and we want those benefits to come to North America.
How's it going so far? Are there any projects that you can point to in New York where electrification is underway or is coming soon?
Right. So in New York City, we are working with our Office of Technology and Innovation on their program. They have a program called the Smart City Testbed, where they bring technology innovations to New York City. So we put out a call for innovation to bring electric construction equipment to some of our city projects. And we had a bunch of manufacturers apply to that call for innovation with equipment that they wanted to pilot with the city. So we're looking forward to selecting several pilots to move forward in the near future and then test those over the course of several months and then have the results of how the users found using the equipment, what the experience was on site with air and noise pollution, and any obstacles that they saw during the course of the pilot.
Fingers crossed, it's going to be very exciting to follow that. Apart from this commitment from the leading cities, what other measures do you think are going to be required to accelerate this shift?
Yeah, so obviously, this is electric equipment. The charging is a big component of it. So we need to work with our utilities, with our infrastructure folks to ensure that there's adequate charging capacity at construction sites. That might be relatively simple if you have a stationary construction site. If you're doing a project in the right of way, in a road where you don't necessarily have a stationary place to charge the equipment, it presents other challenges. So working on the charging is really a component that we think is necessary to drive this market, in addition to the market signal, the demand, bringing all of the partners together and sharing best practices and lessons learned. I also think understanding the costs. We see that the costs are more expensive upfront for electric construction equipment, but we know that there are lifetime savings over the course of using that equipment. So being able to understand the full life cycle cost of owning and operating electric construction equipment will be a helpful factor.
I think some of those life cycle savings that you mentioned, I think we've been seeing some of those in Europe.
Yeah, that's great.
Speaking of Europe and North America, where is North America placed in regards to this shift in a global context?
So we're hoping to catch up to Europe. We see that there's a lot of progress made in electric construction equipment throughout Europe, throughout Northern Europe, as well as China. And we want to bring that technology here. So I would say we're earlier in the phase of adopting electric construction equipment, but I think we can really be poised to become a leader, a secondary leader in the space as we develop our markets, as we have our pilots, and we can show that this equipment is viable in different landscapes and maybe different political settings as well.
That brings me to another question. New York has become a role model in so many aspects of sustainability. How do you see the potential for the city to do the same thing, also become a role model when it comes to electrification of the construction industry?
Yeah, we try to continue to be a role model. We have world-leading policies in building decarbonization and in several other spaces of sustainability. And I think we hope and we would love to continue that trend in this space. We have made commitments to cut our embodied carbon citywide in half, in line with the C40 Clean Construction Accelerator that's targeting 2030 to cut our embodied carbon emissions in half. So we have some ambitious commitments around the clean construction sector and embodied carbon as a whole. In electric construction equipment, I think New York City can demonstrate, they say if you can do it in New York, you can do it anywhere. We have a really dense environment. We have a lot of obstacles with co-location of infrastructure, digging in our streets, it's challenging. So I think if we're able to demonstrate the success of this equipment in our dense city environment, then it'll be a great example for others to take lessons from as well.
Absolutely. If you can make it there, you can make it anyway. When do you expect to see a shift to electric construction equipment on the majority of sites?
You know, I'm hoping we can see the shift imminently. I think we don't need to wait for a shift to everything being electric to be able to demonstrate the benefits of this equipment. So we have we've put together a list of what's available locally in New York City. There's a great organization, CalSTART, that's actually put together a list of what's available in North America as far as electric construction equipment. I'd recommend folks check it out. So we know there is availability. There might not be availability for every piece of equipment. It might not be widely used, but this exists in some format in North America. So what I would say and what I would hope is that we can start with small equipment. We can start with what is available, with what we maybe don't need huge charging infrastructure to use. Or if we do have some charging infrastructure, we can go bigger on those sites as well. And we can transition in until we're able to have fully zero emission sites. So that's what we're hoping to do in New York City, to work with our capital agencies to figure out what we can use now and get those in our specifications. And then I don't know, maybe 5 years out, we can have more holistic, like zero emission electric construction sites that we're piloting. But I want us to be able to start with what we have and not have to wait for every large piece of equipment to be available.
Sounds like a very good strategy. A small step at a time towards a cleaner, quieter future.
Yeah, absolutely. So our office name, I will say, is the Mayor's Office of Climate and Environmental Justice. And so we're very focused on environmental justice. We've done an environmental justice report, and we are looking to transition that report into recommendations for how we can better the justice and the environmental conditions within New York City for New Yorkers. One of the things that came up in that report in surveying issues that are important for New Yorkers, of course, was noise pollution, rather, but specifically construction noise. We heard that people are really bothered by construction activities, by their apartments, by where they live, you know, maybe at early hours, et cetera. And we're hoping that this type of shift towards electric construction equipment can mitigate that problem and deliver benefits to New Yorkers and be really an environmental justice solution.
Julia, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time and for coming into the studio. Great.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Electrification isn't just the right thing to do. It's also smart business. This quiet revolution is also driving increased efficiency, a better work environment, and lower life cycle costs to the benefit of everyone involved, from construction companies and their labor force to urban planners and for all of those of us who live and work in our cities. But how exactly are we achieving these remarkable gains? And what does it mean for the future of urban development? With me today to answer this are two guests. First off, Carl Slotter, Senior Vice President for Region Europe at Volvo Construction Equipment. Carl, welcome.
Thank you, John.
And also Gustav Werner, Vice President for Innovation and Development at Skanska Group. Gustav, great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
Now, we're going to start off by saying in all big movements, partnership is key. And I know you both believe very, very strongly in the strength of partnership. Can we start by describing the relationship between Skanska and Volvo, two big Swedish companies? What role are we playing in scaling up emission-free sites? Carl.
Well, I think we play a big role. And I think, you know, a construction company like Skanska and a manufacturer of construction machines like Volvo, we play a big, big role on making the transformation happen. So I would say that we play a key role in this, of course, with other stakeholders, but our role is important.
Gustav?
And I also believe that we share kind of the same values. What will we bring to the market, and what are our vision and ambition? So that's a bit of the soft part, but to be able to achieve what we want, to achieve our targets, we need to be on the same level, so to say. So I think that's quite important. And then go with partnership and deliver to the projects.
We were talking before the interview about the importance of creating an ecosystem. So we'll be getting to that, as you were saying, Carl, about it needs more than just two companies. Yeah. Gustav, we heard earlier on from Julia about what's happening in New York and other big cities in the US with the North American Electric Construction Coalition. I'm going to stumble over that every time I say it. Are you seeing similar sort of trends or at least pushes in other Skanska markets?
Yes, we do. And when we look into our markets, especially the Nordics, we see that especially in Norway, there's been a light forerunner in this. Oslo municipality has been quite high demands in electrification on all projects, but also with the National Road Administration, with the large civil projects, are driving this quite hard. We also see the movement in Sweden, but also now it's catching up with the UK and part of the other markets as well. So yes, we see that.
So, and Carl, I guess you're active in even more markets than Skanska is. Are you seeing a similar sort of push and a similar trend?
We do. We see the trends, and the trends are clear. I would still say that that it goes a bit too slow. And I think, you know, Gustav gave a couple of good examples like Norway, and you also have markets like Netherlands. Here we see that the trend, but also the business drive is strong. But that's driven also by municipalities and government giving incentives to make this happen. So pure business drive is still very scattered, and quite honestly, we think it's going a bit slow, even too slow. But then you have other extremes, like for example China, where the government again have pushed a lot the technology development into electrified vehicles. I mean, it started out by buses, and the car industry is extremely strong, as we know, on electrifying, and we also see that happening in construction equipment. So it's a scattered picture, and again, I think we should speed up.
Again, we're going to look at the incentives and so on. I know when we've been talking previously, Gustav, you've talked a lot about the power of public procurement,
yeah,
if you like, and these public tenders can play an important role. Reflections on that? Carl's mentioning how it's a lot of it's being driven there.
Absolutely. And we see that some of the municipalities are really forward-leaning. We know that we have mentioned previously in this podcast, the meatpacking district here in Stockholm, where we have started to set quite high demands on fossil-free sites, but also part of it emission-free. By working together with the client and also with our partners, we see that we can achieve much, much more. So that's one angle that we need to, and one direction that we need to work even more with. And we see that this is popping up because a lot of the other municipalities and cities are looking to each other, so and see that they can challenge each other to be able to push the boundaries ahead.
Julia Casagrande was talking about the C40 and how the role that they're playing here. So yeah, the cities are supporting each other in this journey.
Absolutely.
And I would like to add what Gustav is saying, because that's so important. We can't do this alone. We have to do this together. And we really need to do it together from an ecosystem point of view. I mean, you have the municipalities, you have construction companies like Skanska, you have the manufacturing companies like Volvo, and then you also have the grid companies and electricity providers on the site. So the beauty about this and the challenge about this is that everybody needs to move together in order to make this happen.
Everyone at the same time.
At the same time, yes.
Let's look at some of the advantages of electric machines over fossil fuel and renewable fueled machines. Gustav, can we start with what it means for us at Skanska?
Of course. To be able to reach our targets within sustainability, to lower our carbon emissions, we see that Scope 1 and 2, the majority of our emissions come from the civil projects, and that's related to fuel. So to be able to reduce that, we need to find other solutions. And electrification of machines is one part of it. The other part is be much, much more efficient. But if you connect those two and see that if we have more electrified machines, we need to be much, much more in detail in planning, because that requires charging infrastructure, and that requires also that we need to plan when to charge and how to charge and when to use the machines. So that enhances both efficiency, productivity, but also the carbon emissions. So it's a really good gain on that.
I'm guessing you can also get better data out of electric machines.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that we see for the future. To be able to get more data, we can get even better.
And Carl? What do you see as the advantage? I know you don't want to put down your other machines as well, but we're focusing on the electric machines here today. What do you see as the main advantages?
There's so many advantages. And again, I think Gustav was addressing a couple of really important ones. And that's that with new technology, you can do things better than you have done before, meaning that you can drive efficiency and productivity. So that's one really important angle. But the second really important angle is, of course, the whole question about sustainability, which we were into in the previous comments as well. I mean, the sustainability drive is important. You can do something good with electrified machines. But the third one, which is probably the most important, is that we believe that from a technology point of view, having electrified drivelines, that actually also makes economical and financial sense for our customers, meaning that you can have a less cost of ownership, less cost of operations with electrified drivelines versus diesel-driven drivelines. And I think right now we are in a shift where we come into applications where the usage is higher, the hours used for the machines is higher, means that equation becomes even better when you come to these production applications, as we call them. And that's a beauty, because then you have both the heart, that you believe that you're doing something good, but you also have the brain with you that you can actually make it happen in, with financial sense as well. And that's the combination which will make this a success.
And I will also add to something that now we're looking from a contractor, supplier perspective. But if we go to the other side to look at a customer perspective, of course, using these type of machines is reducing the noise and also getting much, much more better work environment for the drivers. So there's a lot of benefits of going electrification in construction sites.
And I think this soft aspect, the human aspect, you can't undervalue that aspect. We actually made an interview of one of the operators of the electric machines and, of course, asked her, so how did it feel? She said it was the same thing as driving a diesel machine, but it felt much, much better. So the feeling aspect is really important.
I want to go back, because you mentioned there, Carl, the money, the cost. A lot of people believe that these machines, I mean, they're new, they're using completely different energy sources. Aren't they a lot more expensive than a good old diesel machine?
Well, today they might be, if you look just transactional price, diesel versus electrified machines. But if you look at the total cost of operating them, taking in consideration also the energy cost and the energy usage and all that, and then you put that equation together, including also how you procure, meaning new business models, and then you put that equation as a whole in front of you and do the math, then actually electrified products, in some aspects already today, but in many more aspects tomorrow, will be more beneficial from a total cost of ownership point of view.
But it's also challenging us as contractor, because we need to be much, much better in planning and also see how we can use this perhaps in a different business model as well. So the traditional way of doing is a bit challenged to be able to meet the future.
And we were into that as well previously. I mean, part of the technology shift is, as you say, Gustav, you need to plan better. And when you plan better, then you also execute better, meaning you drive efficiency. And that's always good.
I hate the expression, but win-win. But of course, it's not all really easy. I mean, there are some challenges. What are some of the challenges for construction companies, for contractors? You mentioned utility providers, energy providers, but also for the cities and so on. Can we start with you, Carl?
I mean, setting up an electrified site is not easy. So just to set it up and to get it work is not easy. It requires something, and it requires planning. It requires an approach where you need to talk to the stakeholders in a different way. So I would say from that only that aspect, it requires so much more from us. And again, I think that's why we say it's so important that you need to work together to make it happen. Because if we work the way we do it today, more from a transactional relationship point of view, then you have a lot of pitfalls that you see that doesn't make it work. And that's why the whole planning and working together in the ecosystem aspect is so important. We have a saying in the Volvo Group is that partnership is the new leadership. And this is what we mean, because it is still humans that need to change their old behaviors. And that's why making that change happen is new leadership style that we need to have.
That's a great opportunity to say, okay, what are some of the best examples that you can talk about? I know we have been, Skanska and Volvo have been working together on a couple of different projects. Gustav, you mentioned the meatpacking district in Stockholm. Could you mention some of your favorite?
Absolutely. And the meatpacking district was starting for putting this in the collaboration together with the client. I think that's super good. And that has really been developing our relationship together, but also with the client, and to be able to meet the market. And that has resulted in several projects ahead. But we also have small projects that are up in the north. So we have one up in the north of Sweden called Inotfjället. And I think it's a small just kindergarten that we have built. So it's also a project that we can see that's working in a cold environment. And I think that's super good. Another thing that I really want to emphasize is that when we did the Purple Line in LA, the LA Metro, we actually could provide an excavator from the experience that we have in Meatpacking District and use that in LA. So we actually had the opportunity to put the machine in LA and show the client all the benefits that we just explained. And I think that's super good.
And that was on a very tight central urban footprint, wasn't it?
It was. And the client was super impressed about all the soft aspects that we just discussed.
Karl Slotter from Volvo CE and Gustav Werner from Skanska, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jon.
In this episode, we've heard how cities like New York, through alliances like the North American Electric Construction Coalition, are not only driving climate goals, but also creating direct positive change for the residents. Cleaner air, less noise, and safer environments. The growing demand from these major players is powering this development. And industry leaders like Volvo Construction Equipment and Skanska can confirm that this transition isn't just an environmental issue. It's equally about efficiency and economics. Through strategic partnerships and the increased availability of data, we're seeing how the electrification of construction machinery is becoming a winning concept, both for the climate and for the bottom line. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Shaping Sustainable Places. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss out next time. And please reach out if you want to comment on something we discuss. You can mail us at podcast@skanska.com or via our Skanska Group LinkedIn account. I also want to recommend subscribing to our Foresight newsletter for deeper discussions about the topics we bring up. You can find that on our LinkedIn account too. Until next time, I'm John Ambrose, and this is Shaping Sustainable Places.